Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Shuckery Show. Final hour of the program is the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Chuck Rose gets first request, little Ray Charles. You know why? Because tomorrow is Ray Charles' birthday. I don't know how old he would have been, but Ray Charles, one of the greatest of all time. Still one of the greatest bio movies of all time, man. Ray is just tremendous. So, little Ray Charles, this would be my second favorite Ray Charles song, I guess, is what this would qualify as, with Hit the Road Jack being number one. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We do ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much, but when it's the station, the show, best way to do it is through the Odyssey app. Put that on your device today, right? Smartphone, Alexa speakers, your tablet, your Commodore 64, or Coleco, and television, whatever your device is, just download it onto something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media, find us at 929TheGame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's always the best way to be a part of the show is to follow on our personal Twitter pages, at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Producing the show on the other side of the glass, as always, Jarvis in the building, at JarvisD90. Strange times in the Braves game. Instead of a three-run homer that Adam Duvall had, it turned into a two-run homer because he got called out for passing Austin Riley on the bases after there was confusion about whether the ball had gone out. Ozzie hit a sacrifice fly to drive in Freddie Freeman for the first run. So Braves were up 4-0, but now they're actually up 3-0. And there was a lot of confusion. I'm just watching some of the video of it. I did not see the live action on the call, but I guess some confusion about if the ball was out, not out. Yeah, umpiring in Major League Baseball has been dreadful this year. And for whatever reason, the umpire didn't really make any kind of call in this whole thing, and that led to the confusion. And somehow Duvall passed Riley on the bases, and they called him out. Yeah, try to figure out baseball and umpiring. I saw a stat, by the way, too, right before we get to the NFL squib kick here, about how many penalties have been called in the NFL in the 2 weeks already. Like, they've called more penalties in a week each of the first 2 weeks of the season than they did in any week of the season last year. So penalties have been front and center, and we know, obviously, the taunting rule and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, anyway, it's just officiating is bad, man. Officiating is bad all the way around. Baseball, football, basketball, and I still believe that part of it is just the fact that there's so much reliance on the ability to always fall back to being able to get to replay or this, that, and the other. You know? You can always fall back on the replay if you don't think you made the right call or whatever, and it's just umpiring and officiating is just – it's been bad. It's been bad. So, and actually, I don't think I guess the official ruling is going to be a two-run single for Duvall. He won't even get credit for a home run on that play, even though he hit the ball over the fence because he passed the runner. Figure it out. Again, if you can understand it all, then help me out because I can't figure out umpiring and anything. All right, let's get to something we call our NFL squib kick.
Whoa! Taking a look at the NFL with the Squib Kick with John Chuckery. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Well, the Houston Texans had to promote Jeff Driskel to their active roster, so brought him off of the practice squad and brought him up because, obviously, they've had some injuries at their quarterback position. And Tyrod Taylor is going to be out, I guess, for the next, I think it's a minimum of 3 weeks that he's going to be out for the next, or for the Texans. But, you know, they've got that guy named, Deshaun Watson that's available and out there. But I guess since the Texans don't really want to play him, you know, he has to, Taylor has to miss at least 3 or 4 weeks because of his, he's expected to miss 3 or 4 weeks because of his hamstring injury. So Driskel comes off the practice squad with no other – Davis Mills, obviously the kid here in Atlanta, is the other guy that will start at quarterback. This Deshaun Watson thing is more and more fascinating just with the idea of he's around, he's not playing, they're paying him $10 million. They're kind of the ones that are saying that they don't want to play him. He hasn't really said he's not. Okay. Good luck out of all of it. Why? I asked this question. Why wouldn't you force Deshaun Watson's hand and say, look, either play or take a fine or something? I don't know. It makes no sense. And I know that they would love to probably trade him, and there's issues with that because you don't know if he's going to be suspended or this, that, and the other. I don't know that I've ever seen in my lifetime a situation with a player and a team the way that it is. You know, for all the talk about Aaron Rodgers and all the confusion and all of the crazy things that were going on with him, at the end of the day, he's a Green Bay Packer and he's playing for the Packers, right? So for all that craziness and nuttiness about they're going to trade him, he won't be there, and this, that, and the other. And I said at the start, I would never have traded Aaron Rodgers. In a million years, I wouldn't trade Aaron Rodgers. Why am I making somebody an instant Super Bowl contender? Why would I make any team in the NFL? Because that's what would happen as soon as Aaron Rodgers goes to a team, that team is an instant Super Bowl contender. Why would I do that? Why would I so drastically change the fate and fortune of a franchise? Well, you want to get something back for him. No, man, I'll make him retire and sit out and not be able to come back. I'll do whatever I have to do, but I'm not trading him and making the team better. But this Deshaun Watson scenario is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And they're willing to eat the $10 million that it cost him for whatever it was, a roster bonus or what have you, that he's on the team for. And he's not on the exempt list. It's not like the commissioner has said that he can't play or anything like that, but here they are. And they're arguably the worst team in the NFL, or right there at it. I mean, certainly the Falcons trying to make their name in all of that. One guy who is going to get his first start, think about all the quarterbacks already that in the league from this rookie class that are starting. We talked about Davis Mills, you know, obviously, you know, Wilson up in New York, Trevor Lawrence and all that. Well, Justin Fields is going to get his first start on Sunday. Now, the funny part is, did you see the comments from Nagy, the head coach, talking about the idea that even though Fields is going to start this week, that when Dalton does come back, he will be the Bears starter? Now, why would you go out there and say something like that? Why is Nagy so locked into the idea of Andy Dalton for as long as he can squeeze and get away with all of that? That it's a great opportunity for Justin and for all of us as a staff to be able to take this thing and see where it goes with him. But then he said, hey, Dalton will be the starter when he gets back. What sense does that make? Fields saying, quote, I've been preparing for this moment for a long time. My mindset doesn't change. I'm still going to have to play my football and just prepare the best I can. Like I said before, get a lot of practice reps and study, and get more comfortable and confident with the plays and stuff like that. Dalton, of course, got the knee injury against the Bengals on Sunday. Justin Fields and the Bears did win the game. Nagy said about Andy Dalton, Andy's still battling through his injury. Like I said to you the other day, we're glad that it's not his ACL. We're not expecting him to practice today or have him available this week, so he'll be week to week. Fields was 6 for 13 for 60 yards with a pick, had 10 carries for 31 yards against the Bengals, and then did throw two completions in week one against the Rams. But we'll see. This is what everybody's waiting for. How many Falcon fans, Jarvis, do you think are going to be watching the Bears. What's that thing that everybody has? Is it Sunday Ticket or is that the, is it Sunday Ticket that, that you have where you can watch all the games or whatever nowadays? Sunday Ticket. How many people are going to be watching in Atlanta the Bears game to watch what Justin Fields does? Here's the funniest part, and I'm going to say this in all truthfulness. Justin Fields could go 1-for-37 for 50 yards, and that one completion is a 50-yard touchdown, and people wouldn't point to the other 36 incompletions that he'd have. The Atlanta people would point to the one touchdown that he'd have. Yeah, right, right. I mean, if he... Like I said, 1-for-37, and he had one 50-yard touchdown pass for completion. Everybody wouldn't talk about the 37 incompletions. It'd be that touchdown pass. Or if he made one big running play. See, Matt can't do all of that kind of stuff. So, but good for him. Look, he's going to get his first start. I don't know the fascination with Andy Dalton about why they're worried about making sure that they let everybody know that he's going to be the starter when he gets back or this, that, and the other. But that's where it's at. We'll see if that changes in a couple of weeks if Andy Dalton, you know, is ready to come back, and then all of a sudden, you know, Fields is balling out and doing all these good things. So we'll see what happens there, because teams want to win, right? And if you got a hot quarterback or a hot guy, why are you going to change? Why would you change just to go back to Andy Dalton for all of it? Now, I didn't even know this was a thing, but Kyle Shanahan was asked about the possibility of the 49ers signing Frank Gore. Now, did anybody see that running back for the Ravens on Sunday night? Anybody see who was getting some carries for the Ravens? Guy that we knew here a little bit about in Atlanta, Devontae Freeman. And he made a couple plays here and there, but he got some carries. They are so beat up and banged up at running back, are the Ravens, that they had to sign and activate and play Devontae Freeman. Well, guess what? The 49ers are in that kind of mindset as well. Raheem Mostert is done for the season. Jeff Wilson Jr. isn't expected to return until midseason. Jamichael Hasty is headed to injured reserve. Rookie Elijah Mitchell sat out practice today. Trey Sermon has been limited because of a concussion. Could you imagine Frank Gore at 38 years old getting a shot to come back in the league? By the way, do you know what Frank Gore is doing right now? And Shanahan said, I would never put anything past Frank. We gave him a little heads up and some notice. He'll always be ready. We thought it was a little early for that. Guy still have a chance of playing this week. We would never fully rule that out. Don't know exactly where he is right now. There are a number of people in here who have a relationship with him. If that time ever comes when we need to do it and he wants to do it, we would never rule it out. Do you know what he's doing right now? Anybody know what he's doing? He's pursuing a career in boxing. Yeah, he's trying to become a boxer. After 16 seasons in the NFL, I guess that supposedly he has been pursuing a career in boxing. I had no idea that Frank Gore was trying to be a boxer at 38 years old. But listen, hey, you got money, you got time, you can do all of it. Would it surprise me if somebody picked up Frank Gore? No, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised at all if somebody picked up a Frank Gore with all the injuries. It's crazy to think about the guys in the NFL that because of injuries, that guys like Devontae Freeman hasn't done anything the last few years, and now here he is playing against, the Chiefs on a Sunday night game for the Ravens, so God bless. Now, this story about the Rams and the lawsuit that St. Louis has against the now L.A. Rams is pretty fascinating, and we may try to get on next week, try to get our friend of the show, Amy Dash, to talk about all of this. So, according to a court ruling, the Missouri Supreme Court has upheld a ruling that says that the Rams owner, Stan Kroenke, Commissioner Roger Goodell, and various other owners must disclose personal financial information that is involved in the Rams relocation lawsuit. So basically what's happening is that St. Louis is not happy about the fact that the Rams up and left and went to L.A. In fact, there's been some reports that say that the Rams could be on the hook for as much as $1 billion in money that has to be paid to different things in St. Louis. It says here that fines of $1,000 a day per person will start next week if they don't comply with that order. So imagine that Goodell and the owners of the league are facing a $1,000-a-day fine if they don't reveal their information, financial information, in this Rams case. Crazy. I guess the tables truly have turned, huh? All right, when we get back, thoughts about the Falcons and what's going to happen this weekend. Chuck, we're hanging out at the Key Studios. Sports right now to the game, odyssey.com app.
That's right, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. Headed toward the top of the hour in the JR Sports Brief, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be a part of the show. Odyssey app site, catch it on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, at JMCH316, at Jarvis D90. Braves up 3-1 right now in this contest. Adam Duvall with the longest single maybe ever. Should have been a three-run homer, but because of confusion, and then he passed Riley. He didn't really pass Riley. Riley went back, and I don't know what. I don't understand the whole deal of that thing was. But it turned out to be a two-run single instead of a three-run homer. So, and he was called out because he passed Riley on the bases out of all of it. So, 3-1 right now. Ian Anderson has given up a run in an inning with a couple of hits and has a walk and a couple of strikeouts for all of it. So, Braves should pound their way through this game if the umpires will just figure out how to make the right calls out of all of it. So, no show tomorrow night, as we said. Normally, Thursday night football, we're on for an hour, but Odyssey has a special broadcast called I'm Listening that's on from 6 to 8. So, we encourage you to listen to all of that. You heard some of the commercials promoting what's going to be on there. So, we ask you to tune in for all of that. But we get ready for Sunday action as the Falcons and Giants meet up. 2-0-2 teams. Falcons are the last. Is this good? Falcons are second to last in the NFL in offense, and they're last in the NFL in offense. Or in defense, excuse me. So they're the worst defensive team and the second worst offensive team in the NFL. Is that good? Is that kind of where you want to be out of all of it? You know, it's interesting when you look at the Giants. They have obviously had their struggles everywhere. Saquon Barkley's had an interesting start the year. 23 carries for 83 yards is all he has. So first off, he's not even their leading rusher. You know who's their leading rusher? Daniel Jones, their quarterback, is their leading rusher. He has 122 yards on 15 carries, does Daniel Jones on the season. Barkley's only got 83 yards on 23 carries. This is what's even worse. And by the way, that's only a 3.6 yards per attempt. Here's what's even worse. Barkley's longest run is 41 yards. So on 22 other carries, he's got 42 yards. So he's got one carry for 41 yards, and he's got 22 carries for 42 yards. That's crazy. He's had a rough start to it this year. You know, Sterling Shepard's had a nice start to the season. He's got 16 catches for 207 yards and a touchdown. Darius Slayton is the guy that you got to watch with the long ball. Six receptions, 119 yards. That's almost 20 yards of reception with a touchdown as well. Jones on the season, only 63.8% completion percentage, 516 yards, two touchdowns, but no picks on the season, you know, thus far. They've been in both of their games, right? I mean, you know, they did lose by two touchdowns to the Broncos and then lost by the 1 point, you know, to Washington, but obviously not been a very good team, you know, to start. But right now, the Falcons, who are they to talk about anybody being bad when they've been as bad as what they can be? Look, the Falcons haven't run the football well. Would we love to see the Falcons get the running game going, this, that, and the other?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'd all love to see that. But why would I believe that the Falcons are going to be able to block anybody? And why would I believe that the Falcons can open up some holes and create some holes? We talked about, you know, we kind of said in passing earlier in the show, remember, Azeez Ojulari is one of the starting, you know, defensive ends or outside linebacker, whatever you want to call it. But he's already got a couple of sacks on the season. So they'll, again, these teams are going to lick their chops and get excited about the idea of lining up against the Falcons offense or against their offensive line, especially if you're an interior defensive lineman. Those guys are going to be really excited about going after anybody for the Atlanta Falcons. You know, the only other guy who's got a sack for the Giants this year is Austin Johnson, one of their defensive tackles. You don't think guys like that are looking and saying, okay, this has been one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. So everybody gets excited about trying to play the Falcons. Falcons have to go up there and find a way to get a victory in this game. And, yeah, they're dealing with some injuries. A.J. Terrell may not play. Russell Gage very likely will not play. And there's going to have to be some decisions made, you know, with all of those guys. But Falcons have to get some things, you know, figured out. I mean, the Giants are toward the bottom in defense, especially as far as points given up. They give up 28.5 points a game in the first two games, you know, of the season. So it's not like teams can't score on the Giants. So this should not be a game where the Falcons end up with 10, 13, 17 points. The idea is to get out and get some points early on. You've got a team that's given up 4 touchdowns per game. That should be what you do against this defense. I don't want to hear about injuries. I don't want to hear about struggles or offensive line. Figure out a way. If they've given up 56 points or whatever, I think it's actually 57 points total is what they've given it. Yeah, they've given up 57 points in 2 games thus far. They give up 30 points to the Redskins. They gave up 27 points to the Giants. So they've given up 4 touchdowns in each of their first 2 games. You should be able to put some points up against this team. So you get out early, get a touchdown, get this offense cranked up, and get some things going. And if you want to tell me they get that done through the running game, fine. You want to tell me they get it done through the passing game, fine. I told you earlier we're talking about the yards per reception for the Falcons receivers. It's pretty abysmal right now when you look at it. Their yards per reception are pretty low when you look at the Falcons pass catchers. Ridley's only at 9.5 yards per reception. Gage is at 5.6 yards. Hurst is at 6.8 yards. You know, Mike Davis has 10 catches for 48 yards. He's caught 10 passes and doesn't even average half a first down in those 10 catches. The only two guys that catch passes that get first downs, Patterson averaging 10.1 yards in reception, and Pitts is averaging 11.6 yards. Well, I take that back. Zacchaeus is averaging 11 yards per reception, but he's only got 2 catches on the season out of all of it. So they've got to get their passing game cranked up, you know, going. Yeah, I'd love to see the running game and this, that, and the other get things going. This is still a pass-first team. It's still Matt Ryan and Pitts and Ridley and Patterson and Davis, who catches balls out of the backfield, and Hayden Hurst and all that kind of stuff. We could talk about running the football. Yes, they need to run the football effectively. It's 3rd and 1 from the goal line. They need to be able to run that ball in and punch it in and get a touchdown out of all of it. But they've got to get their passing game going. You know, Matt's completing 69% of his passes. Problem is he's got the 2 touchdowns like Dan Jones. Problem is he's got the 3 interceptions. And 2 of those have been pick sixes that he's given up. So, unfortunately, you know, he's given up as many points as what he's thrown, you know, thus far. But he is completing passes. The problem is, you know, his yards per attempt is 5.7 yards. You know, that number should be 2 or 3 yards per attempt higher than what it is. 5.7 yards is a dreadful number in the NFL. They have got to figure out whether it's rolling him out, whether it's shotgun formation more, whatever it is, keeping an extra blocker in, whatever it is, they've got to get more yardage out of when they do complete passes. It's great to complete 69% of your passes, 69.1%. That's a really good number in the NFL. But 5.7 yards per attempt is abysmal in the NFL. That's a terrible number in the NFL. You've got to be much better. So, yes, run the football effectively. That's all great. And the Falcons did throw it a lot on first down in the game on Sunday. But Falcons have got to get their passing game more effective. They've got to create more yardage off the attempts that they make. And, look, as I said, a team that has given up 57 points in 2 games, or basically both teams have scored 4 touchdowns, if you will, 27 and 30, in the first 2 weeks. It's not like their defense has shut anybody down. It's not like their defense has stopped anybody. And, yeah, the Falcons' defense has had all their struggles, and their offense has had those struggles. But this is not the same defensive front when you talk about what the Eagles and the Buccaneers who maybe, I don't know, that's two of the top three, four, five best defensive fronts in the NFL. You know, thankfully, that, and look, you're going to be facing Washington here coming up, who's got another really good defensive, it's another really good defensive front. But for this week, Falcons have to find a way to block well enough and get their passing game going and create some yardage in that, which, you know, should lead to some touchdowns out of all of it. Will their offensive line play better? Hopefully. We gave you the numbers earlier in the show in the Falcon flyover about how good Lindstrom has been. Right now, Jake Matthews and Chris Lindstrom have been fine. Matt Hennessy's been adequate. Mayfield's way below average, and McGarry's below average, you know, himself. The interior of their offensive line obviously been dreadful. Something has to change there. Now, this might be, you think, Jarvis, have you heard anything about Josh Andrews about if they expect him next week to start practicing and being ready? Because he had to be out 3 weeks. They put him on that short-term IR. He had to miss three games. Is there any talk about him potentially coming back, you know, next week or start practicing next week? Jarvis says that they were asked about him and soon, but yeah, I mean, well, Sheffield, you can have you can have Sheffield, and with Terrell out, you know, if Terrell is going to miss, you know, that secondary is going to get probably tested. You know, that's going to be another key matchup. Is, look, they made Jalen Hurts look like, you know, first team all NFL. They can't do that in this game. Is that Riley? It's Riley that just bombed away a home run there. So Braves, you know, again, Braves are just going to pound the daylights out of. I mean, Arizona's dreadful. This is what you're supposed to do when you're a good They're doing what the Phillies can't seem to figure out to do. Just go out there and pound on bad baseball teams and don't let them hang around in all of it. But look, if they can't get Josh Andrews back soon, they've got to figure out something, you know, to give them another option on their offensive line. Doesn't mean you get rid of Jalen Mayfield, but you got to give yourself a backup plan. You can't just continue to go down this route and let your quarterback get beat up. But back to my point about Daniel Jones, look, they made a guy in Jalen Hurts in his fifth start in the NFL look like first team all NFL. You don't want to do that to Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is a competent quarterback. He's okay. Like I said, he leads the team in rushing, and he hasn't turned the football, you know, over from an interception standpoint. So don't make him, you know, don't let him go out there and throw 77% and get 15 yards, you know, an attempt, and let him go crazy and haywire and stuff like that. You know, you've got to find a way to contain him and control him a little bit. The running game for the Giants, I don't know. I don't watch enough Giants football to tell you, you know, about all of it, but I look at the numbers and I look at Barkley's numbers and I say, wow, that's some strange numbers that he has there. 22 carries for 42 yards with one carry for 41 yards and still only 83 yards and 23 carries. It's not a very good start for a guy that a couple of years ago was looked at as maybe being one of the best young players in all of the NFL. It just hasn't worked out with injuries and everything else to all of it. So I expect the Falcons to go up there and win. I don't think this is going to be a well-played football game, I'll be honest with you. I think there will be some points scored in this game because both defenses are not very good. I think the Falcons find a way to win this game like 30-23, I think is what the Falcons do. And the Falcons better find a win this week because, you know, again, the way that their schedule is, nothing is really much of a guarantee. You got a good defensive front in Washington, then you get the Jets, and then, believe it or not, you know, you got a bye week coming up, which I hate. I hate that early bye week like that. So I'll take the Falcons to win it this Sunday, 30-23, and we'll see what happens from there. Don't forget, Wait For It Tailgate Show, me and Hugh Douglas from 9 to 11 this Sunday, leading you into Falcons pregame coverage. All right, one more segment to go. We head to the top of the hour and the JR Sports Brief. It's all next. Chuckery hanging out in the Keys studios. Sports right now to the game, Odyssey.com app.
Go. Yeah. Get ya, da, da.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at on the John Chuckery Show. Head at the top of the hour, JR Sports Brief. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along, 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app site, Catching the Go. Social media, 92.9 The Game, at JMCH316 and Jarvis D90. Braves up 4-1 right now. Philadelphia did win, by the way. I'm just trying to find out the score. It was 4-3 tonight. The Phillies did win, had to hang on. That game was tied up for a good bit, then they pulled ahead and hung on for the victory. So Phillies do win. They won where Bryce Harper threw out the tying run at the plate in the eighth inning, and that was the difference in it. So Harper's been unbelievable of late. A lot of people think he's back in the MVP race. I don't know. I'm not sure he's played enough games this year. And, you know, again, it's one of those things that you know, if Philadelphia doesn't win the division, hard for me to think about Bryce Harper being the MVP of the National League. Is anybody from the Braves in that right now? Like, who is the MVP of the National League? I was trying to see right now what some of the numbers were. I mean, you know, the Braves have almost a dearth of guys that would split the vote right now, wouldn't they? Whether it's Freddie or Riley or Ozzy or whatever. I mean, you know, there would be several guys that would get the vote right now. Now, by the way, St. Louis, who is red hot, they won their 11th game in a row right now. I was trying to go back through and look and see real quick. I want to see, like, Muncy's numbers real quick because he was one of the guys who was – looked at as being a top-flight MVP guy. And Muncy only hitting .252, 34 homers, 87 RBI, 90 runs. You know, there's no just clear-cut guy that you look at right now because everybody got hurt and healthy. We talked about this, you know, a while back. You know, certainly Tatis, you look at his numbers, I mean, they're staggering for the number of games. He's only played in 118 games, but 94 runs scored, 39 homers, 93 RBI. He's got 25 steals on the year, hitting .286. My guess is, even in 118 games that he's played, my guess is he's going to be the MVP of the National League. Now, right now, they're not the second wild card team. Right now, the Dodgers and Giants keep kind of flip-flopping one another. Dodgers are a game back right now in the West. So right now, the Dodgers would be one of the wild card teams, and the Dodgers are in the playoffs. So Dodgers would be one wild card team. And right now, the Cardinals are the second wild card team. So say what you will, 11 wins in a row for the Cardinals. They're up to 82 wins. Think about it. They have 82 wins now. The Braves are trying for their 78th win on the season. But Cardinals have been red hot of late. Padres not even, you know, in the playoff picture right now. So would Tatis get knocked a little bit because they're not in the playoffs? And obviously his injuries, you know, I mean, he's missed, you know, quite a bit of game. They've played what? They've played 150 games, so he's not been in for 32 of those games thus far this year. But his numbers are so staggering when you take a look at it. And then, you know, you look at the Braves. How do you separate the difference between Freddie and Riley and Ozzy? I mean, how do you separate those guys? You know, Ronnie, unfortunately, with the injury, that knocked him out. I mean, his numbers are still pretty staggering for 82 games when you think about 24 homers and 52 RBIs, so basically half a season that he had that, you know, he could have been a 40 and 100 guy out of all of it. I don't know that any of the pitchers, I mean, some people think that maybe what Max Scherzer has gotten himself back into the MVP race in the National League thus far. You look at, with the Dodgers, 7-0. Is this good? 7-0 with a .78 ERA, 79 strikeouts and only 58 innings pitched. Did he do enough between Washington and the Dodgers? Because he's right now he's 15-4 on the season, leads the league in ERA with a 2.08 ERA. He's got 226 strikeouts and 169 innings thus far. He leads the National League in WHIP with a .811. You know, he's been staggering, you know, how good he is. I think he's probably second in the league in strikeouts. I'd have to look, but I'm guessing Burns is probably the guy who's leading the league right now in strikeouts, with his numbers just being off the chart. But this turns out to be a hell of a series. No, he's not even. Must be Zach Wheeler then. Zach Wheeler must be the leader in strikeouts, because I think Burns is third in it. But I don't know. You know, the I'm not sure one of the Braves is going to get enough support. If it is, I think it's going to be Freddie. I think Freddie more than Riley or Albies or anybody. I think Freddie's going to get looked at as the benefit of the doubt because he's kind of the team leader and he is the reigning MVP for all of it. So I think he probably gets the benefit of the doubt. But the National League MVP race, it's like nobody wants to win the thing right now. Like nobody wants to win it, you know, and there's not as many clear-cut kind of favorites in all of it. And I think if the Braves get, you know, against the Brewers in a five-game series, you know, Braves have a tough road to get themselves to the World Series this year. There are a lot of really good teams in the National League. You think about just even, okay, if you get through Milwaukee, then, you know, think about the wild card, first off. So the Dodgers could be a 100-win team and be the wild card team, right? Dodgers or Giants, either one. Pick whatever you want. One of the wild card teams is going to be a 100-win team in all of this. So Dodgers, let's just use the Dodgers right now, just simply because of the way the standings are, the Dodgers are in second place right now. You could have a 100-win Dodgers team, and you could have potentially, let's say, about an 85-win St. Louis Cardinals team. They got 82 wins now, so let's say they're somewhere between 85 and 90 wins out of all of it. Well, that's two pretty darn good baseball teams. So let's say the Dodgers win the wild card matchup, and they beat St. Louis, they move on and take on the Giants. Well, now, so you could potentially get the Milwaukee Brewers, who've been really good. They have the third best record in the National League, one of the best rotations and back-end bullpens, maybe the best back-end bullpen in baseball right now. And then you get your chance of taking on the Dodgers-Giants winner out of all of it. That's a pretty tough road for the Braves, but this is what you set yourself up for. This is what you want. This is where you're at. This is what you got to do out of all of it. And the Braves will be in the playoffs because Philadelphia is not making a run here. This thing may get a little bit tighter when they get through this weekend, depending on what the Braves do. And that's why I think this weekend series is so interesting for the Braves, is it's one last shot to take on, you know, one of the best teams in the National League. It's one last shot to kind of see how the Braves stack up against, you know, a team like the San Diego Padres, who for all the good things that they've done and all the excitement that they've brought and all the moves that they make and this, that, and the other, they're right now not even a playoff team. And they're losing, by the way, right now to the Giants. Right now they're losing that game. They're down 3-0 to the New York Giants. And with the just unbelievable run that the Cardinals have been on here of late, it's taken the Padres completely out of the playoff picture right now. Giants are going to be a handful to try to get out. They seem to be as clutch as anybody you can find right now. But even with all that talent, with Machado and Tatis and Myers and Hosmer and all those guys and all the moves they made to go get Yu Darvish and to go get Blake Snell and all those kinds of things, they find themselves on the outside, you know, looking in right now on the wild card picture for all of it. So you get to avoid, you know, certainly maybe one or two of the better teams in the National League just because of the way the playoff structure works itself out. But Milwaukee's going to be a tough out. Winner of, let's say, Dodgers-Giants, you know, or whatever, Giants and Cardinals. You know, Giants or Dodgers are going to be certainly tough outs in all of this. So where do the Braves stack up for all of this? I don't know. Do I think the Braves could beat the Milwaukee Brewers? Remember, the Braves would be the road team in that series too, because the Braves, or the Brewers, have a better record right now than what the Braves do. So the Braves would have to be the road team in a short series. I'm guessing Morton would get the number one start. You would have to figure Morton in the first start, Fried in the start number two. Is it Anderson or Anoa that would get the start in game three? It'd have to be Morton, Fried, and then I don't know. Do you go with Ian Anderson, or is Anoa done enough to kind of convince you? I would guess probably Ian Anderson if I had to guess for all of it, but again, Morton and Fried, your top two out of all of it. And that'd be a hell of a matchup. You get Morton and Fried in the first two games to go against Burns and Woodruff in the first two games. That's a hell of a game. And then game three is, you know, potentially, let's say, Ian Anderson and Peralta. That's a pretty good 1-2-3 right there. That's three really good pitching matchups, which is why I said I think you have to think about a little bit of different lineup when you get into the playoffs. And they've been tweaking and playing with this lineup thus far, but I think you have to find a little bit different configuration. You got to get some at bat. You got to get some on base and some on base and speed guys toward the top to let your top guys be able to drive those guys in. Man, playoff baseball's a whole different thing. We saw that last year. It's tough to just mash your way through, and you're not going to get. And this year, with all due respect, there's no Reds or Marlins in the playoffs this year, right? You're not getting the Reds or the Marlins this year in the playoffs to go beat up against and all that kind of stuff. No, you got the Dodgers, Giants, Brewers. You know, think about how good the Brewers have been, and the guy who's been the National League MVP previously in Yelich hasn't done squat this year. They haven't even been a great offensive team, and Yelich hasn't done squat, and still, you know, the Brewers are finding themselves right there in first place and 90-plus win team, but their starting rotation, they're back in their bullpen, man, has been so, so good this year. So playoff baseball is going to be fascinating. You know, it's going to be. I'm hoping the Braves don't get knocked out early, but it's going to be a tough first-round matchup for the Braves. That will be runs will be at a premium in that first series against the Braves. There's going to be some good starting pitching on both sides. All right, going to wrap things up. Coming up next, Chuck, we're hanging out in the Kia Studios for a few more minutes before we give to the JR Sports Brief. Sports right after the game, Odyssey.com app.
You're my morning star, shining brightly beside me. And if we keep this love, we will last through all eternity.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.